Hello, my name is Dr. Claudia Rivera-Salas. I'm a nurse practitioner in East Lansing, Michigan. And today we're going to talk about immunologic rationale for JAK-directed therapy in rheumatic disease. So in 1966, Krebs and Fisher made a big discovery about cellular physiology. They found out that protein kinases, which are like little machines in the cell, play a key role in a process called phosphorylation, where they attach tiny phosphate molecules to other proteins. This process is crucial because it helps control how protein works in the cell. Protein kinases use energy from molecules like ATP or GTP to attach these phosphates to specific parts of the amino acids. So this isn't just important for regulating protein, it's also crucial for how cells communicate with each other, especially through things like cytokine receptors. The cytokine receptors are like little antennas on the cells that pick up signals from cytokines, which are important in diseases that affect the immune system. So these receptors, they don't have their own way to attach phosphates, so they rely on a different set of protein called Janus kinases or JAKs. When a cytokine binds to its receptor, the receptors bunch together and this attracts JAKs to come in. These JAKs then add phosphates to certain part of the receptors, which in turn attracts another set of protein called STATs. Once activated by the JAKs, these STAT proteins come together in pairs and they move into the cell's nucleus. So once inside the nucleus, they control what genes are turned on and off, leads to the production of cytokines and other molecules that help cells communicate and respond to their environment. So basically, Krebs and Fisher's discovery showed how protein kinases and phosphorylation are like the cell's messaging system. They make sure things happen at the right place in the right time. So this is crucial for how cells regulate themselves and they talk to each other, especially in diseases where this process goes wrong. The JAK-STAT pathway is seen in many disorders. For example, in autoimmune disorders like atopic dermatitis and alopecia areata, cytokines, the molecules that regulate inflammation, are critical. The cytokines interact with immune cells and tissue cells in the skin, leading to inflammatory reactions. So in atopic dermatitis, dysregulation of Th2 cells and related cytokines like IL-4, IL-5, IL-10, IL-13, IL-31, as well as cytokines linked to other Th cell responses like interferon gamma, IL-17, IL-22, IL-33, lead to chronic inflammation. Similarly, data shows that JAKs are involved in alopecia areata, which is the most common immunological cause of hair loss. In mouse models, there was an increased level of phosphorylated STAT proteins, specifically STAT1, STAT3, and STAT5, observed in this disorder, which are activated downstream from interferon gamma, IL-2, and IL-15. Beyond the skin disorders, dysregulated JAK-STAT signaling is thought to play a part in dermatomyositis, lupus, hidradenitis suppurativa, lichen planus, and psoriasis vulgaris, for which clinical trials of JAK inhibitors are ongoing. The JAK-STAT pathway is also implicated in conditions like inflammatory bowel disease, including ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And it's thought that the pathway leads to abnormal differentiation and impaired T-cell function. In ulcerative colitis and Crohn's, some of the STAT proteins like STAT1, STAT3, STAT4, and STAT6 don't work properly. So when STAT3 is too active, it leads to more inflammation in the intestines because it elevates Th17, which can make the disease worse. In Crohn's, there's often too much STAT1, while in ulcerative colitis, there's usually too much STAT6. STAT4 is dysregulated in both. So these differences affect how the T cells act and how they contribute to inflammation in the gut. Overall, problems with these STAT proteins are a big part of inflammatory bowel disease and affect how the T cells work and how the immune system responds in the intestines. The JAK-STAT pathway is very important in several joint diseases, and it's seen in rheumatologic conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, and non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis. So in rheumatoid arthritis, the T cells and the B cells change into forms that create harmful substances. The naive T cells differentiate into Th1, Th17, TPH, and TFH, and the B cells differentiate into plasmablasts. So these changes lead to production of autoantibodies, which attack the body's own tissues that lead to an increase in pro-inflammatory cytokines. In conditions like psoriatic arthritis and non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, certain immune cells like dendritic cells, macrophages, and mast cells move into the tissue. So these cells then produce substances that cause inflammation, like interferon gamma, IL-6, IL-12, IL-17, IL-23, and TNF. So these substances affect how the immune system works and involve the JAK-STAT pathway that affect both immune and non-immune cells. In summary, the JAK-STAT pathway is a key player in regulating the immune system responses and inflammation across various chronic conditions, including atopic dermatitis, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis. Understanding the role of the JAK-STAT pathway in these diseases is crucial for dermatology, gastroenterology, and rheumatology providers. It really helps us identify effective treatment strategies and targets these pathways, potentially improving outcomes for patients. Thank you for listening. For more information on this topic, please visit the RAP website's content room for more.